Hi everyone, this is David Yano back again with our second Coping with COVID conversation from the last 2 weeks. You can learn more about the class at vcce.org/coping. Today's guest will need no introduction to longtime Evanston Vineyard members. They are Bill and Cheryl Hanewalt, part of the founding team of the Evanston Vineyard. Bill served as the executive pastor of the Evanston Vineyard, and Cheryl pastored in the areas of counseling, global connections, and women's ministry. Last summer, they retired after 40-plus years of service. Here are Ted, Bill, and Cheryl.
So hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome, Hanewalt. We started this Coping with COVID class with the belief that even during a global pandemic and during civil unrest, that somehow being connected with Jesus means our highest good, even in strange circumstances like the ones we find ourselves in. And so I've been eagerly anticipating and waiting for this moment to have Bill and Cheryl talk to us about how life is for them right now. And also if they would be so kind as to pastor us one more time just for this evening. So could you just for a moment, a lot of people love you, are familiar with you, want to know how life is. So you retired, you moved to Indiana. Tell us about your life now. Mm-hmm. What's life like?
Well, can I just say first, I was recently talking to someone in another country about what it's like to miss our community right now. For everyone, everyone's missing the touch, the feel. But I said, being in a community for 40 years is the kind of gift that we just really appreciate. So I see your faces. I see faces of people in that room, in the auditorium. I see us worshiping together. I imagine what it's like when we walk in and touch each other, or even just that you get to see each other and be in each other's backyards. Anyway, it is a gift to have been a part of generations, seeing generations, and then every week we would see new people come in. It's a beautiful community, and it'll always be in our heart. We love you guys. I'll answer the question about what it is now.
I just want to say this. I hope you know that you still are part of our community. So even though you may be in Indiana, you're not far from our hearts. So thank you for being with us.
With your video streaming, we are virtually every Sunday since last 11 months ago when we left, we've been participating virtually with you, and which does still mean a lot to us. I was surprised at how great the load lifted off of me in feeling to hand over the weight to the next generation and to you, Ted, and the others. Didn't know how easy that would be to do after a while. They're certainly grieving the loss of the kind of life and ministry we'd had all those years. And I wondered how long the grieving would go on, because there was a letting go of that. But I did feel a real spiritual and emotional lifting. One obvious symptom is that I've never slept better in 30 years. So I don't carry the weight on me all night of the weight of responsibility that is on you day, as you understand, Ted. And so so that's a real sign when at my age, I'm actually sleeping better. And feeling a lightness. This winter when the virus hit, that was really hard, being separated both from our community in Indianapolis here and from the Evanston community. And I took great solace in particularly the Vineyard Worship YouTube site, and they were daily putting up worship videos. I would just lean into that almost every day. And it was one of the ways for me to be able to continue. We were lamenting new things. We were suffering the loss of lots of things. Our whole life now changed in the most dramatic way in our lifetime. And the suffering, the loss of that has been big. And I was just so glad to have the Psalter and have all those lament songs to be able to open my heart and say, you know, David felt this way 3,000 years ago. He understands my heart right now.
Yeah.
That was a real thing that's helped us during what has been a season of freedom, but also of grief and mourning.
Yeah. Hmm. Just what it looks like for us now, it's different. So we move from Sheridan Avenue to Country Fields, and we live on Meadow Grass Way. So it's a very different feel to what our days are like. And I mean, one of the things that was heavy on my mind in the last couple years was the whole concept of how hurry is this great interrupter to our spiritual life. And so that ruthless elimination of hurry was something on my mind as I ran from airport to airport, as we ran from meeting to meeting and in a hurry. And so that was something I was really looking forward to, ways to slow down. Hmm. And, the COVID has made that very slow, very slow, and then slower yet. But I mean, that was something I look forward to, was the slowing. And those of you that know me know how much that means to me, to be able to move slow, to think about what I'm reading without having to move to the next thing all the time. So that was different. But, you know, we missed family. I lost a brother who died in March of this year. So just as COVID was getting started, we made a trip to Missouri for the funeral of my brother, who had fought cancer for 17 years. So adding to the grief, but adding to how grateful I was for the quiet, how grateful I was for the slowing down. Then there's the grandchildren and in COVID. So we have grandchildren here in Indy, but we were relegated to the outside of the fence for some period of time. And of the little ones saying, I know I can't touch you, Nana and Papa, but we see you. And those were, we know we share that grief with many people, that separation from generations of families. And then things sort of loosened up with that a bit, but we're not sure where that'll go in the winter. And
My 4-year-old grandson, our 4-year-old grandson, when we first saw him after the lockdown, and we got back from the funeral and everything was locked down, and he kept his distance. And one thing he keeps saying, and he says it with the real strength of anger in his heart, you know, our whole lives have changed because of the virus. I feel like that spoke to my heart, like all of us feel the grief of how our lives have been upended by the virus. You know, the enemy of our body and of our society, but who would also like to be the enemy of our soul in this time. I just think it's interesting how it gets translated into the simple understanding of even a 4-year-old knows that we are in sad and grieving times because of unseen enemy.
Hmm. Yeah, that generation all grieving right now of young children and their parents and the decisions and choices that they have to make every day, and their friends who are single living close by, and the cousins and then the grandparents, and then our aging parents. And there are many people at Evanston Vineyard that we have lost our aging parents together, you know, with those there. And you know, so we grieve with you still over the loss of our parents as well.
So Bill, you were saying that as you process grief and you process loss, some of the things that were really helpful for you were worship and were the Psalter, the Psalms, as well as probably other written laments. Cheryl, could you talk about what's been helpful for you as you've grieve some of the losses this season?
Yeah, I think one of the things I'm very grateful for are those friends and Bill, who will let me just talk about the grief, talk about my brother, talk about what I might miss. And before jumping into problem solving or trying to make it okay for me or trying to make this come out so it's not so painful. So those friends that have learned to do that's just so valuable to me, and I appreciate it. And one of the things I think for all of us that we're trying to learn in this time of how to just listen to each other, I've thought a lot about the difference between anxiety and peace. And so that not realizing until recently that in all of the letters that Paul writes, he makes some comment of, and peace be on you, peace go
That's
with
right.
you.
Yeah.
And as well, Peter and John, but wasn't aware of is that Jesus, when he shows up after resurrection,
That's right.
says, peace go with you, peace
That's
be
right. That's I'm, right. He does.
Wow, because things were not peaceful. Internally, they were not peaceful for people, and externally, they were not peaceful for people. And so just the acknowledging there's anxiety, there's fear, there's anger, there's frustration. That when I am with people that will do that, it feels like they're bringing with them a place where I can acknowledge Jesus is going to bring peace. Is a part of that. If I can be angry, frustrated, and have someone listen to me without correcting, without problem solving. Yeah. Right.
Well, that's beautiful because I think a number of things. It makes me think of Jesus showing up to the disciples in the upper room, as you were talking about, and saying, "Peace be with you." And that "you," of course, is not to a singular person, but it's to multiple people. And the other beautiful thing about grieving and grief is that there's an invitation into community as we grieve, that we grieve together. And so holding or being people who can hold space with other people and listen and not invalidate, and as well as us receiving it ourselves. And that's beautiful. It's really beautiful. What about isolation? What happens? And we're made for, or we're wired to be with one another. And yet we have one of the things I think that's really hard about this pandemic, and as I'm sure you could talk about for a long time, is that some of what's happened with kind of like the ruthless elimination of hurry, you know, of course, hurry is oftentimes embodied in your relationships with other people. And so then now you remove that piece and then all of a sudden things become really slow. What about isolation? How does that work? And I know that you guys were pretty careful when this pandemic hit and stayed pretty shuttered and isolated, right? So can you talk a little bit about isolation and what does that feel like and what can we do and what have you found to be helpful?
Let me start.
Go ahead.
When I think about what it's like to have the anxiety build in isolation. So when we're, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I can't wait till I'm not in a hurry anymore, when I can move slower, when I've got more time around me. But then as we have more of that time alone, quiet, without interruption, initially anxiety and fear often just bubble up. Hmm. And it's hard to want to acknowledge. I mean, I would much rather just watch another something or read another book, just take another walk. I mean, all those things being really helpful and good, but to actually stay quiet enough to say, this is my fear. It feels like that isolation is actually one of the places that can happen. But it is acknowledging that there's stuff going on. There's stuff going on in me. And the isolation is really going to give me opportunity, give attention to what's happening, or it's going to be miserable. I mean, that seemed like those are the two options. And I can be miserable too in the isolation. So, I mean, there are things I can do to reach out, you know, but, a side piece on this is when we were in Kenya, one of the things that touched me a lot in our many visits there with people were the first thing that you say to someone as you greet them in the morning was, did you sleep well? Did you sleep well? Good morning. Did you sleep well? And I always loved that because it felt like there was some connection that was very basic that acknowledges right now things are not normal. Things are not okay. Last night, there were many things that could have interrupted what's going on. And sort of learning from what their lives were like in this time for me is simple. It's a simple communication with people that I walk past on the street or that come to my door for a delivery or that's just, hello, you know, did you sleep well? So I mean, that breaks some sense of isolation and separation from people.
One of the things I recognized early on was that things shift. The very earth that we're standing on, in a sense, has shifted, and we are lower than we were before. We are dealing with more basic things to deal with before we even can get to love and relationships and belonging.
Yeah.
Things that we have just taken for granted for a whole lifetime, as opposed to, say, the greatest generation, which had to deal with the Depression and all of that, which is pretty devastating, then a world war. I found myself having to reset my expectations to be lower. I have not had to live at the level of many people in the world where you're living at the level of survival. Our first goal after her brother's death was to find a grocery store to fill groceries so we would have something to eat by the time we got back here because we didn't know what would be there. And so I was reminded of that study that many of us learned in college in our psychology class of Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah. And
everybody's been knocked down two notches in the last 5 months. The very first level for Maslow is our physiological needs. And all of a sudden, I'm spending hours a week scrambling to find how do I order online and how do I get things to meet our physiological needs. The second level for Maslow is safety needs. And we're absorbed by dealing with safety issues. And we can't even get to the highest level of self-actualization. Not many of us have been working on self-actualization a lot because we're having to devote sufficient time to physiological needs, safety needs, then gone up. And you get up, eventually you can talk about love and belonging, but I realized that's just the way things are. We're operating at a much more basic level, and I need to adjust that. It's a similar adjustment. Cheryl made an allusion to our overseas travels in previous years, and we learned after just a few trips that when we landed in some of these emerging nations, to lower expectations from the beginning, that everything was going to go slower here. Many things were not going to work out well. We did not have control over our lives like we did back in the United States, from everything from where we're sleeping to when we're going to eat our next meal and where it's going to come from and how safe are we in this neighborhood. Just we're operating at a much more basic level when we're traveling to these emergent countries. And I realize America for the last several months has been an emergent country for us again, where we're dealing with basic things. And I'm trying to practice what people, a lot of people talk about, being a non-anxious presence in the middle of everybody's anxious right now. But if I can get a control over a few things, if I can make sure that I've ordered my medicines enough in advance so that they're they're shipped to me, since I don't want to go into the drugstore. You know, I'm basic things that took no time at all before, and now it takes an incredible amount of time. So the big adjustment is living like I'm in a country that is not the modern United States that I had a year ago, but is a country that is coming is operating at a much more basic level.
So I guess what I'm hearing is maybe lower our expectations about the daily, about the way that our daily lives are going to work out. And the other thing that I'm hearing you do for each one of us is, as you're sort of normalizing the experiences, you're extending grace to us, right?
Yes.
Maybe
I have to lower expectations for myself. Yeah. I can't get nearly as much done in a day as I used to. And it isn't because of my age. It's because of the circumstances that changed so much. And I've got to be happy that I've got these three basic things done today. Let's celebrate that victory. We got this order. We got this medicine. We were able to find something on the internet and they will ship it, you know, or something like that. So, but the same way is, this is a time for extending grace towards each other and to others. Mm. Everybody right now is frequently not their best selves, and they're not the most self-actualized they've ever been. Everybody scraping and scrapping for the basics, and sometimes that shows how broken we still are and how weak we still are. And so it's a time for grace, which I think is just a segue to the other social political issues going on in our day. And the great disturbances and tragedies in our land of injustice, which stir us up to no end. And then it's really hard to be a non-anxious presence. But I see the ongoing debates on my social media feed with friends and others, and I realize people are so hard on each other right now. And
that's right.
As believers, I question those I see who seem to be their goal every day is how much fire can they fuel rather than how much grace can they extend. And it doesn't mean that there aren't some fires that should be burning, but we're all just, I just feel like everyone, Christians included, are just too short with each other and too harsh, not realizing we're in deeper water than we've been swimming in through our whole lives.
Well, I just want to do one thing real quick as I'm listening to you talk, both of you talk. So I'm hearing you, Cheryl, talking about peace be with you. And also Paul's frequent greetings in his letters. He's saying peace be with you, but he's oftentimes saying grace and peace be with you. And so I'm hearing grace from Bill and peace from Cheryl. And what I'd like for us to do right now, if you're listening on the podcast or you are listening on the webinar, would you put your hand on your chest and would you receive the grace and peace of the Lord right now? We can extend ourselves grace, but we have been extended. We've been extended marvelous, beautiful, magnificent grace and peace from Jesus. And so, Jesus, we receive your peace right now and your grace right now. And the one other thing that I would like to invite you to do is, I think you can. Maybe we can't, but we can see who are the attendees, but maybe you can if you're in the webinar format. But could you think of just one person, maybe somebody that you bumped into today, and just take like 10 seconds and just pray grace and peace over them. Somebody that you bumped into, somebody who maybe made you frustrated or mad. Jesus, we extend grace. As we have been so freely and richly given, we give and we extend grace and peace. Amen. Cheryl, I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Yeah, that's a good question. I that was 3 minutes ago. I'm not so sure I can remember. Although I can I just say about the piece?
Yes, please.
Here, which is, a few mornings ago, I had a dream, and when I woke up, I had in my mind a picture of a glass that was filled with debris and just stuff that had gotten stuck on the glass, and it was fairly empty, my thought that came was, there are so many disappointments that people, they're small disappointments. I'm disappointed that I can't get sprinkles for my grandchildren right now in COVID. You know, that's a little one. A bigger one is that it's our 50th anniversary at the end of this year. And that is not going to be what we planned it to be. I'm disappointed because I don't get to have my birthday next year with my brother who passed. We had the same birthday. There was a collection of disappointments in us from small to big. And it was like the debris in this glass. And I was thinking, peace is not the absence of things. It's not the pouring out of everything. As followers in our faith of Jesus, it is the pouring in. So I saw this pouring in of his grace. As he's pouring into the glass, the debris is sort of breaking loose. The disappointments are sort of breaking loose. And, you know, and they're floating to the top. And there's just some sense of peace that brings to us, of that debris getting to float to the top just by the pouring in. So it is that, like, so when you were talking about our receiving that, that's what I'm praying. I am praying for the grace to be poured in to those of you that are listening right now, for some of even the cumulative small disappointments that you're living with every day, and experiencing a piece of God's grace in that. Yeah. Those matter. Like the sense that it matters to Jesus that I can't get sprinkles, not like it matters that there's justice for things that are really important, but it matters.
Oh man, we received that. To feel your heart in that. It just hearing you both talk to us, I feel loved. I think our church feels loved. So thank you. It's beautiful. I think what's really interesting about what you just shared, Cheryl, is I think that what we're experiencing right now, I mean, even just to zoom out to civic unrest, like that you mentioned about Bill, I mean, like in order for the peace to come, there has to be like a shaking, you know? And so you're talking about these things that are bubbling up, you know, and as the kingdom of peace is ushered in, you know, there is a shaking, the other kingdoms shake. And, and give way to the unshakable kingdom, you know. So I guess the thing that I want to maybe pivot to, and then I'm going to give some time for questions. I'm sure people would love to ask you some questions, but you know, we've been talking a little bit about the fear and the anxiety that gets stirred up, that can get stirred up during COVID, you know, and my understanding of anxiety is that it's fear of a threat that could be coming, whether it's a real threat or it's not a real threat, or a need not being met, or our ability to actually handle what's coming to us. We have anxiety about that. But what I'm also conscious of is COVID stirs up good things too. And I would just love to hear what have been some unexpected blessings for you in these last few months. What have been some silver linings? Have you experienced joy in unexpected places? I was wondering if you could, we'd just love to hear a little bit about that from both of you.
the being able to recognize when I am feeling anxious, and for all of us, that usually we can recognize it first when it's in our bodies. So, I have
that's helpful.
Yeah, so what we notice all of a sudden that our fists are clenched or our shoulders are tight or we're squinting, those are physical sensations that get expressed in our bodies, that there's anxiety, there's some fear going on. And I have a granddaughter who is very tuned into that with me, and she will and she'll say something to me like, Nana, are you okay? What? Nana, are you upset? And I don't always want her to know every time I'm upset about something. Tuning into without knowing it is something I've been trying to learn to be more in tune with for myself about that. Just, I'm not feeling happy right now. I could say that, but I don't know what. But just to try to acknowledge where in my body am I feeling that right now? Yeah, I can really tell my shoulders are really tense. Mm. And so being able to identify it physically, that's come out of things slowing down more. Mm. I'm better at that. Mm. And so I think that's one of the things that we can do as our lives slow down a little bit, even though what's coming at us is more intense, it can be slower, is just beginning to pay attention to our bodies in that way. And then that gives us the opportunity to say, oh, there's something going on for me, Jesus. I don't even necessarily know, but the fact that I'm clenching my fist right now probably means I'm feeling feeling anxious. I'm frightened about something. Can you have for me about that right now, Jesus? Can you get me to it? Can you get me to it so you can be with me in it, so I'm not alone in it?
Yeah, that's really helpful, because I do think that the slowing down, I mean, part of the gift of slowing down is that if we can give ourselves to it, we can become more aware of some of these things that are actually not helpful, you know, or things that we need to acknowledge and give to Jesus. So that's really helpful, or work through or walk through or have a conversation with somebody about. So that's helpful.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. That's cool. Bill, what about you? What kind of blessings have you experienced in this season?
I think all of us need to be taken regularly into the wilderness. And there are things that can't be obtained in our life without shedding away, without being taken to some hard places, some thin places. Places of some level of deprivation. That certainly it feels bad, but Jesus knows how to teach us in the wilderness things that we can't learn in the land of abundance. And
Preach it.
I mean led into the wilderness. I would love to be in the land of abundance, but I'm not. And so I'm accepting that Jesus is there with me in it for a reason and to teach me things in the wilderness. And it's part of that, the whole slowing down of things has been part of that. But also, you know, most of us, I think, are spending a lot less money right now. I'm not a consumer. I'm buying elemental and essential. You know, I'm buying, you know, dry beans and essential. But, you know, we went 100 days with cooking every meal. We did not even do takeout for 100 days because we pulled back and we cooked together, and there was an upside to that. We enjoyed all these meals that take a long time to prepare because we could do that. But so that part of the wilderness, so we saved money and not eating in restaurants and eating desserts and then going for walks almost every day, sometimes 2 or 3 miles, I lost 15 pounds. So I didn't get the COVID-19. I gave it away to somebody.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it's been a lean time in some ways, but I come out of it having more disciplines over some things. You know, we can live with less. We do not have to be impulsive buyers and consumers in the way that it's so easy to become. And to go through a lean time is good in that regard. It's and the wilderness on many levels. The aloneness forces us to look inside more, and for the two of us, just the two of us living together, you know, and in difficult times, it exposed, as it always does, how many imperfections I have, how impatient I am, how my character flaws get more exposed, and I need more grace. And so that's a big upside for me, not to live in the illusion that I'm more mature than I am, and that I don't need to keep relying on a daily ingestion of the grace and favor of God.
About that, I have a friend who I love does this. She talks about when with family members that you're feeling very critical about what they're doing, because if you're going to spend this much time together as a family or with a roommate, you're going to notice things and feel critical about things that you may have just passed over before, by and large. But that when she's feeling that criticism rise up in her, she said that is a moment when she begins to try to make a decision about whether or not I'm going to just fall right into it. I'm going to push into the criticism, or I'm going to take that as, this is, I love this person. I am really asking for Jesus' help on whatever it is that's going on right now. And just staying with that, I bless them. I bless that right now there's something going on in them that's good. There's something going on in them that they're trying. I'm asking for your help, Jesus, for that person, this thing. And I think that is just, I notice his patience with me. I think it must come in those doses toward me. But that's something that we can do for each other and the people that we live with. Right now, I can tell there's something. They're trying in some way, even if it's
making. Yeah, again, just kind of getting back to maybe a little bit of a theme sort of rippling through this, which is the extension of grace and peace to one another as we receive it ourselves, and how I think that's the beauty of our faith, that the wilderness actually is a measure of grace to us. And so Bill and Cheryl are actually going to pray over us. They've got some prayers that they want to pray over us. But before we do that, before we close and have them pray over us, I'm wondering if anybody has any questions, if anybody would love to ask a question of Bill and Cheryl. Where do they like to eat in Indiana? Do they miss paying city sticker fees?
Oh, yes.
You know, do they wish that they had to parallel park in spaces that are too small for their cars? You know, what kind of questions might we have for Bill and Cheryl? Here we go. Oh, who's your favorite grandchild? Is Carrie Kirsten? We can. Lots of questions are coming. Okay. I'm going to curate some of these. What do you like best about your new home?
Oh, that's easy for me. I walk out my back door and there are trees and grass and birds. And where we've lived in recent years in Chicago, there's little trees, grass, and birds. And we're in a very quiet place. I don't remember ever living in a place in all the years of Chicago, wherever it was, that there was this level of quiet. And it reminds me actually of my childhood in Missouri. And so it feels a little, it's a very tender, sweet thing, early in the morning, late in the evening.
How about you, Bill? What do you like best about your new home?
God was answered all of our prayers of the things that we felt we really wanted in this little place here. What is precious is I can walk in 15 minutes and be at my mother's window at her senior home, and she is leave her home now for months, and I can't go in, but I can come to her window and I put up a bird feeder, and that's just a 15-minute walk. or I can get in my car and drive 10 minutes and be with some of my grandchildren. To be that close to these people that are so important to me that I look after is such a gift of this location.
How is your mother doing?
My mother is 90 and a half, she is doing well. She's keeping her spirits up amazingly in her isolation. Up until a week ago, she's one of the few senior facilities in the state or in Illinois that had no COVID cases or no deaths. They do have 3 cases there, but they are doing such an excellent job. And it turns out the place she was living in, Evanston, has had many deaths. And that was shocking.
Oh, wow.
Learned that.
Wow.
Taken deeply by the grace of God, saying, what would this year have been like if my mother had been dead? And just the grace of where she is. And it's sweet. My brother, her only other child, he and his wife came up and we all gathered outside her window and she just lit up to see her children.
That's beautiful.
I seem to be able to walk 15 minutes and talk to her in these difficult times. We're looking forward to birthday 91 for her coming up.
Here's another question for you. Have you picked up any new hobbies since retiring? Extend grace to yourself. Extend grace to yourself. Have you become a polyglot during COVID?
I hope try new things. And that part of lowering my expectations is I'm not going to be trying to be more ambitious this year. I can't even keep up with where I was because we've had to spend so much time on these more basic things. I just feel like I've been able to do that. We have been trying to subtract things from our life in order to function. And this is not the year we planned. There will be some time to add some things, but we're just thankful that we're healthy and we are fed and we are loved. And through social media, I get many loving comments from people in Evanston all the time. So
one of the things that we have done increasingly is that there are many beautiful forests here, just 15 minutes, 20 minutes away. So we have been able to increase. That's a very safe place to be because there are not really that many people on the paths here. So. Mm. Being able to spend days walking in the woods, like one of our very favorite things to do. You know, that is our hobby. Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. There's a question here. I want to ask this, and then we'll move on to have you pray for us. Terry Campbell asks if you miss preaching, and this question is to both of you, but I want to maybe frame the question a little bit. I know that Bill, you had mentioned talking about carrying pastoral weight, I mean, which both of you, I'm sure, feel and felt and were able to give up, you know? But there's something about ministry also. I mean, I think that when we're ministering in our gifts, in a way, that's when we flourish and that's when we thrive. And so I'd love to hear about ministry and things that you miss about ministry and what's different now and what were some things that you just really enjoyed that you're passing in a new season for?
I'm doing what I've always done, only just much, much smaller amount. So that is, I do enjoy that. I am still, I do still see a few clients online around the world. I still stay in touch with some people around the world. And, I mean, there's such life in that. And some days I'm like, I don't want to have to do that today. And Bill will remind me, oh yeah, but you're always so much happier afterwards. And it's true. It's like, there is still such life. I still love counseling. I still love the people experience God breaking into broken hearts. I still love to just listen to what people are doing around the world. And it just changes my life. It's still, at almost 70, it still changes my life to hear them talk about how God is with them.
Hmm.
I would say I do miss preaching, but preaching, good preaching, is really hard work. And I have enjoyed having the load lifted. And I anticipated by now I would have gotten it. Ordinarily there might have been an opportunity, but I felt like, no, the Lord's just given me more time to rest and think. And there will be opportunities there. I do have fortunately, I have a few pastoral coaching phone calls or Skype calls that bring real satisfaction because the people lead me to believe I'm my input's beneficial. I'm glad as long as they say that.
Hey, don't forget, you actually still coach me, so you better not stop doing that.
That's been rewarding. I was ready to lay down the load of caring for God's people in the way that we've been doing for 40 years. It was the right time to pass that on. There will be days that the only preaching this year, sadly, has been my brother-in-law's funeral, and other things will come.
That's right. Other things will come, and we are in a strange season, but it will not last forever. And so, on that note, I just would love to turn it over to you to pray for us as we close our evening. Pray over us. We've really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Well, I wanted to pray out of the yearning I believe is not just in my heart, but so many others have felt, and that is the yearning for how long, God. I just did a quick check through the Psalms, and I think there was 17 Psalms at least that the psalmist says that, how long, how much more, Lord, how much more do we have to go through? And so I've taken great comfort in reading and praying that out, knowing that that prayer is not unheard. And so I want to just read the first part of Psalm 13 and just pray for everyone who has these longings in them, that they would feel hope and consolation that the Lord has listened to these prayers for 3,000 years, and he still is. I'm going to, instead of reading the How Long, O Lord, from the New International, I'm going to go to the Eugene Peterson, God bless his soul, who gave us his words in the message, the first paragraph of Psalm 13. Long enough, God, you've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough, long enough. I've carried this ton of trouble and live with a stomach full of pain. Long enough my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. I felt that so many times the last several months. This enemy, this disease, this racism in our country, all these afflictions, long enough, Lord. We prayed for justice. We prayed for healing. We prayed that for the consolation. We prayed for your kingdom to come. And we join with the words of David and just say, Lord, we don't want to feel like we're looking at the back of your head all the time. Hear us and turn towards us in graciousness. Hear the longings of our heart to be comforted and be reassured that this too will pass. The days of rejoicing will come. The kingdom and God's justice will be revealed, and the afflicted will be comforted. Those who've been mistreated will be judged fairly and be honored by God. We put our trust in you, just as David did, and say, Lord, hear our prayer, long enough. And if it's a little bit longer, Lord, then just give us more grace.
And I'm reading from Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Lord, just for the many people, the servant-hearted people that are at Evanston Vineyard, we just ask for your blessing and your filling that up right now as they have a desire to touch and to do those things that please you. May your love just flow on them right now. And the disappointments, Lord, that are just clinging to the inside, ask that you would flood in and wash those out. Bring your peace, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be connected to you guys.
It's so good. It's so good to see you guys again. And thank you for joining us. I'm going to close this in a little bit here. Just want you to know we'll be back here at the same time next week talking on another topic. We'll actually be doing these through the rest of August. We've got some people joining us, including other faces from the past. And so we're excited about it. So next week, same time, we'll see you here. Thank you so much, Bill and Cheryl. It was wonderful to have you.